You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Astros in the middle of their series with the Angels. This is, of course, before they take on the Oakland Athletics and then cruise into that All-Star break. I'm excited for these guys to get a break. Doesn't look like Justin Verlander or Yordan Alvarez, obviously, will be playing in the All-Star game, but we may see a couple other Stros.
We may see Kyle Tucker, who had the big hit in last night's game. We may, at some point in the game, see Jose Altuve, assuming that he decides that he is going to play. At least it looks like that's going to happen. But yeah, Alvarez, Verlander, we're not going to see them. They already announced replacements, I think, for both of them. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I don't want Justin Verlander doing anything risky with his long-term injury history and with Yordan's hand situation. Look, we know the Astros are always very private about, you know, the injuries and the details, but certainly if this is the second time this hand issue has been bothering Yordan, it's not worth it for him to risk it. I would love to see him show up, everybody at Dodger Stadium, but certainly not worth it when you look long-term to playoffs. They won yesterday 6-5. This was after a very odd inning, and it seems like the Astros have these games like every couple of weeks where it's against a bad team and they have like a disastrous inning that almost cost them the game. Not the end of the world, but very odd. Couple of errors by Bregman, Maton, etc.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, look, I hate West Coast baseball because the games are so late. I think we all do. It's the one unfortunate part about the Astros being in the American League. You're going to play, you know, 20 to 30 games against teams from Anaheim, from Oakland, and you're going to have to stay up late waiting for those games to end. And, yeah, Seattle too. It's frustrating when, just as you are starting to wind down, the Astros have a 5-1 lead in the seventh inning, and you should feel pretty comfortable about the ability to go to bed. And then the bullpen and defense, everyone just totally screws up for that one inning. But luckily, they were able to hang on. And look, you got to win your clunker. So I'll give them credit for being able to take care of it.
Yep. Go Stros. Let's do our Yankees Watch segment created by Paul Gallant. I believe we have a new drop for this.
We do.
Let's hear it.
Yankees Watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
Drama.
Yeah, you
do
need
you
the
make
horn.
These? Okay, so these political ads and these drops, take us inside the creative mind. Do you do them in your apartment?
I have no comment on the matter. We can't tell you where Yordan Alvarez for MVP operates from.
Yeah,
safety concerns, security concerns.
Absolutely.
You know, people from Los Angeles are known to stab people from time to time. I know they're Dodgers fans for the most part, but what if a Dodger fan found out about the location? But yes, I do these in my condo.
You did buy a condo. Big boy moves. So tell us about Yankees Watch and what your observations have been. You have magic number 3.5.
The Yankees are only 3.5 games ahead of the Astros. I thought it would take a lot longer for the Astros to get closer, being 5.5 games back with all the tough games that the Astros have left, in addition to the tough games that the Yankees have left. The Yankees are playing the Cincinnati Reds. You think to yourself, okay, the Yankees 49-0 when they're winning in the ninth inning. The Reds 0-49 when they're losing in the ninth inning. This one's going to go according to plan. The Yankees went into the ninth inning up 3-0. They lost. And it's because their closer, Clay Holmes, who's been awesome this year, walked a guy, allowed a single, hit a guy, allowed another single, hit a batter, and then he was pulled. Ultimately, the Reds took the lead when this happened.
Now Jonathan India.
I love
this. Mets are down to their final out. India loops it into short center field. It's down for a base hit. One run will score. Here comes Solano. He'll score. And the Reds have come all the way back to take the lead. Jonathan India with his second hit tonight puts the Reds on top 4-3.
They're literally showing the highlights right now on ESPN on the TV in our studio, by the way. I covered Cincinnati sports, and this is the most Cincinnati thing ever because this game matters nothing whatsoever, but Cincy fans were hyped on Twitter.
They were. They should be. Good for them. By the way, Aaron Judge had an at-bat in the ninth inning with a chance to, you know, tie the game, seeing as he is the great Aaron Judge. And he struck out, too. This was just perfect. Look, we'll see what happens when the Astros and Yankees play one another. But I don't think that this Yankees team is as historic as their record indicates, as their numbers indicate. I feel like their bullpen, there should be some serious questions about it after what you've seen over the last five games.
And I'm really excited for when the Astros and Yankees play each other coming up in the second half of the year. I believe they have a couple of games left because, look, Houston's had the best record in baseball since June 12th. They are 21-6. That is number one in all of baseball. And the Yankees have not been playing at that same pace that everyone thought that they were going to be able to continue. I feel like a night like last night, yes, it's more of one game anomaly than it's a reason for the Yankees to panic. But, I mean, you're up 3-0 on the Reds in the ninth inning and you blew it.
By a couple of, let's say a couple of days after the All-Star break, do the Astros have the best record in baseball? I mean, look at who they play the next couple of days.
Wow. I mean, the Yankees would have to get swept by the Reds. So I don't know.
Well, no. But I said after. A couple days after the All-Star break. So like a couple of games, and I don't even have the Astros schedule up in front of me. I should. But a couple of days after the All-Star break, when they have a couple games after their under their belt, you know, within the next couple weeks, do you think the Astros could?
It's going to. The Astros have a tough series against the Mariners to open up the second half of the year.
Oh, your side chick.
So
God.
I want to see how that goes.
Sean, the side chick drama's coming back
into
town.
They went back to the gym, okay? They are, whether it's a shake weight or it's Pilates or cycling class or Peloton, whatever the case, they are looking pretty good.
Scott Service started boxing or something. And now he's wanting to show everyone.
Oh, yeah.
That guy loves to fight.
Yeah, Scott Service is Popeye the Sailor Man. Like, he just runs out of the dugout, chugs some spinach, and just wants to beat up somebody whenever he's out there.
He's not really my type, but he's not bad looking. And the fact that he's willing to fight does add a couple points.
So do you like someone who's willing to fight?
I like half a bad boy. Like
half
somebody
a bad
that
boy.
That is willing to finish a fight. But not necessarily, like, out trying to start one.
You mean you want someone who's going to win at the fight?
Yes.
Okay, so you want somebody...
But I don't need somebody that's going to a bar every Friday trying to start a fight.
No,
that's
I get that.
That's annoying.
You want someone who's, like has to fight.
That has
He never seeks it out, but it's always,
yes,
it's but always it's, at his doorstep.
He's got that dog in him.
What if he's just punchable? And people try to punch him because he's punchable, but no. He then wins the fight.
Wouldn't date a guy with the punchable face. Wouldn't date a guy with a punchable face.
What if he's hot, though?
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
There are some hot people that have punchable faces.
Like who? Who has a punchable face that's actually good
Scott
looking?
From Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No, not hot
He's an attractive man.
Too metro. I also
Does
like
Zach him. Wilson have a punchable face?
Zach Wilson.
He's got a baby face.
Did you know punchable that Zach Wilson face. Was not Mormon until he went to BYU?
Looking at punchable faces.
Ooh. You can do that?
He was not raised Mormon. People think he was, but he was not.
So he committed to
Probably
BYU
saw all the wives
and
that
had to convert?
And, yep.
Or maybe didn't have to.
It's like all my girlfriends that marry Catholic guys and go through the Catholic. I'm like, you're taking a class so you can be converted and marry a guy? God bless America.
Yeah, it doesn't seem worth it.
No,
I'll put that out there. I'm not converting.
I'm looking up most punchable faces.
Never. And
I will come back to you with the results
most
on the other side.
Most punchable faces. All right. Coming up
Justin
on Vanessa
Bieber.
And Gallant.
He's hot.
Punchable to wouldn't. Not my type. Too
Martin
pretty.
Scully?
Too pretty.
You a fan?
The Big
Martin
12
Scully's
is
not hot.
He's got money.
The Big 12 is open for business. We're talking about that.
Colin Plus, Jost?
Punchable faces, not my type. That's next.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
She's beautiful. Smokes pack day. Wait, that's me.
With anyway. Can't think about that. Hey, she thinks I'm beautiful.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, Vanessa, do you really want to be
never
the queen?
Compromises.
Do you really want to be the queen?
I know, but I want to see Train and Jewel because it'd be a sick concert.
Hell yeah. Listen, Sean Mapes was scoffing at this in the break, and honestly, Vanessa, you were too. Let's be honest. You guys can't appreciate great 90s art.
She wants
just keep on singing it. You have a
Is
voice
it
of an angel.
Is wants to be the cream or queen? Okay.
Get your mind out of the gutter. The American rock band Train is coming to the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. It's presented by Huntsman for their AM Gold Tour. So caller 3-713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You win a pair of tickets to see Train with special guests, Jewel. How about that?
Yeah.
You left for me.
Oh, wait, Blues Traveler is actually going to be there.
Yes, how'd you not recognize
Why
Blues Traveler?
Give me the run around.
And they got the harmonica on all their songs. The hook will bring you back. On this, you can rely. I don't know who Thunderstorm Artise is.
But I'm sure they're good.
Yeah. July 21st. Caller number 3-713-720-3776. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com.
It's Train, Jewel, Blues Traveler, and Thunderstorm Artise, in case you just were focused on Paul's singing.
I'll shift over before we move into our next topic. I did say I'm going to look up some punchable faces.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Jay Cutler. In or out, Vanessa Richardson?
Jay Cutler has a punchable face, but I do consider him attractive mostly because of his size.
Okay. He's a big, burly man. I got it. Mason Rudolph.
Nah.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Too pretty.
Too pretty. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't like pretty.
People like his statue. They like to touch a certain part of his statue.
Whoa.
I'm not kidding. It's actually worn down over time because people keep on posing and touching that specific area.
It is worn down.
Grayson Allen.
Not my type.
Tom Brady.
Too pretty. See, when people say punchable face, the problem is the majority of the time they mean like a pretty.
Which is why I disagreed with your initial assessment.
But I don't like pretty.
Okay.
So you know who I think is really attractive?
Who?
AJ Hawk. Get the big jawline.
I think he's got a punchable face.
Not a punchable face.
Because he could
face.
Take the punch.
Not a punchable face.
Right?
It's
punchable and you can physically take the punch.
He has a face that looks like it's been punched.
It does.
True. Which in and of itself.
His face looks like it punches people's
hot.
Fists.
Not in an insulting way either.
No.
I just mean like it looks like he's gotten scratched.
His jaw is damn. Okay.
It's a good one.
I would like to steal it.
He's a guy that wouldn't start a fight but would finish it, a.k.a. my type. Speaking of my type, hashtag open for business, the Big 12 commissioner, thank you, says that they are open for business. I think it's Bob Bowlesby is how you say it?
No, because Bob Bowlesby's gone, right?
Oh, wait, RIP, not Bob Bowlesby.
Yeah, he was executed for failing to keep them on level with the SEC.
Brett Yormark,
thank you, that's what I meant. Here's Brett Yormark.
There is no doubt. The Big 12 is open for business. We will leave no stone unturned to drive value for the conference. Just as I pledged to the board, we will be bold and humble, aggressive and thoughtful, and innovative and creative.
What is this, a political campaign?
I want to play like the battle hymn of the Republic in the background and see what it sounds like if we play the exact same audio again, because that does sound like a political speech. And I'm announcing right now that the Big 12 is running for president of the United States of America in 2024.
Bold and humble, innovative and creative.
We're going to Oregon and we're going to Washington.
Right. This basically comes down to them needing money. I mean, it's it, right? Like, they need money for TV deals. They need enough conferences to put together a sustainable schedule, not only for their big sports and their money-making sports, a.k.a. football and men's basketball, but volleyball across all of the other sports that these Big 12 schools have to offer. Sean?
Yeah, like, of course they're going to be creative and humble. Like, are they too good for any ideas?
What, are you going to be arrogant?
They're hanging on for dear life. Like, yeah, get creative.
And the best part, by the way, is that the Big 12 account tweeted this out as if they were proud of the fact that their commissioner said this.
Well, they should be, right? I mean, look. Yeah. Hey, they are the very willing and available option 1:30 in the morning for a lot of these teams and that they might be left out.
Yeah, it is 1:30 and they are looking at Arizona and Arizona State going, I'm open for business.
Right. We're going to go to Corvallis. And we're going to go to Syracuse, New York. We're the Big 12. We're both coasts. We're open to everything. Anywhere.
I do have a little bit of breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Not super, super relevant here in Houston, but Ken Rosenthal tweeted that Charlie Montoyo has been fired as manager of the Blue Jays.
Ooh.
Again, not super relevant to Houston, but the Blue Jays were a team that a lot of people were looking for success for possibly a playoff run. Obviously, we know that's where our friend George Springer is, even though he's battled some injury.
Sometimes firing a manager works. It's weird because firing a manager should not have that much of an impact in the middle of the season, but the Blue Jays have probably been one of the biggest disappointments in the American League to this point this year. I think the Mariners were, but I mean, the Mariners weren't very good last year as it was. They were definitely, ahead, you know, they're playing ahead of themselves, it seems like, at this point in time. Yeah, I mean, shoot, think about it this perspective, Vanessa. Like, the Baltimore Orioles have actually been good recently, and they're just two games back of Toronto.
Right.
Toronto put all this money into themselves this offseason, and they got swept by the Mariners over the weekend.
We saw Madden and Joe Girardi,
right.
That both got canned earlier this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
So death of the veteran managers. They're not dead. They're just fired.
Charlie Montoya? No, Inigo Montoya.
All right, it's time for a segment we call Wine Wednesday.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine, wine, wine.
Paul, why don't you wine first?
I'll go first. Look, I get it. Airlines don't want to give you your hard-earned money back when you cancel a trip. But last week when I got COVID-19, I had to cancel a trip home to Boston. The second time that I have gotten COVID within days of going back home to Boston. So I was really bummed out about it. Couldn't go to the wedding. Couldn't see my godson. I figured it would be very easy to get the money back. I called Delta Airlines. Delta Airlines, they pick up the phone. They said, oh, are you okay? Hey, we're really sorry. Gave me all my money back. Done. 5 minutes. I called JetBlue Airlines. First person I call says, oh, no, we can't give you back your money, and you have to pay an $100 cancellation fee. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, well, maybe you should have thought about that when you bought a flight during the era of COVID-19. I was like, wait a second, did you seriously say that? And then I went on a long rant.
Ooh, I'm sure that was fun.
They hung up on me. So then I talked to them through their chat 45 minutes after saying, listen, I got COVID-19. I'm trying to be courteous here. I'm trying to cancel my flight. I want to just get my $100 cancellation fee back. They're like, yeah, we can't do that either. So I called JetBlue again. And I finally was able to get a handle on it. But it was like 2.5 hours later. And I was just saying, look, I got COVID, okay? I don't think I should have to pay a cancellation fee because I've canceled a flight on JetBlue before with COVID. And I got all my money back. And I don't like that they make it so hard for you to even get to the point where you can file an appeal to get that cancellation fee back.
I will say shout out to Southwest, I believe, because I've had to cancel a couple of flights and they put it towards, I think, flight credit, which is really nice. And they do it immediately or you can get your money back. So, yeah, punishing people for being responsible, not a good thing. My wine could just be summed up in one word, inflation. I'm feeling it. You guys are feeling it, whether it's food, whether it's prices of gas, whether it's, I mean, it's just really, really hard to live and enjoy this first summer that we've had in years where it's a full summer and everything's open and we're carefree, even though people are now saying that the new variant is super, super spreadable and whatnot.
Well, I got it.
Yes, you did. And I'll probably get it at some point, too.
I think Andrew Carlson got it.
It is really, really difficult to enjoy life right now when everything is so damn expensive. Inflation, I hate you. I'm not blaming one person for it. I'm just saying I hate that that's just the way it is. Sean, what's your wine?
My war against construction on the roads. Houston's going to be a nice city when they stop building it. And I thought I had a relief. Yes, last week when I was out in New Braunfels driving back, I-10 at like 4:30 in the afternoon. Driving back, I-10 is shut down at some part.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think past Flatonia. Shout out to Flatonia. And so I was legitimately at a dead stop for like 10 straight minutes on the road, just trying to get back home. So when I was supposed to get back around like 7:30, get some dinner or whatever, ended up stopping at a, one of the gas stations, not Buc-ee's, but just a regular gas station.
Yeah.
And just had beef jerky for dinner. One. And then got home at 10 and then had to wake up and be here on Thursday.
Wait, so how long did it take you to get home?
It took me all in all like 6 hours.
What?
And a 3-hour drive.
That's insane.
Because there's also, this is a side, there's also a brush fire by like the one road that leads to the highway from my parents' place. And so I understand brush fires happen, drought-like conditions.
Right.
But to have both of them happen it doubled my drive time.
I've had bad luck on I-10 before, too. I remember when I was driving here from Seattle, it was the last day. I'm like, I'm so close to Houston. I'm within 3 hours. And the worst stretch was from San Antonio to Houston. It was miserable. Like, I got into San Antonio, and everything was just terrible. And then I tried to take another way around it. Terrible.
and then they tried to take another way around in an I-10. One lane highway only. Got off on the shoulder road. Oh, guess what? The shoulder road is now backed up. So I actually drove off the highway on grass and then drove back up the highway on grass in my little Nissan Sentra, which probably should not have done either of those things. And I was like, I don't care. I need to get back. I'm dying. This is terrible.
I applaud you, Sean, for being in a good mood today. Because
yeah.
after a bad travel day, I want to kill half of the people I come in contact
with.
Well,
that was last Wednesday.
Oh, it was.
I just
but
missed
you're
it.
Always smiling.
Yes. Well, Thursday, I don't think I was smiling very. Last Thursday, I was not smiling.
Okay. Well, I'll never give you a compliment again because you're not going to take any of it. I thought you were in a fine mood. Is what I'm saying.
Now I'm not in a good mood because you compliment me. I can handle a 6-hour drive. Cannot handle.
Oh, F. Sean. No, but yeah, construction, a pain in the butt. That's 3 hours turning into 6 hours. Sounds like hell. All right, Paul, tell us about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network. I ain't one about them. You know why?
There you
go. They will help you find money through real estate. You might be concerned about the idea of investing in a real estate company. You're thinking to yourself right now, yikes. I mean, look at inflation. It's tough to make ends meet. And that's definitely granted, but why not just have the conversation with the folks at the Passive Investor Network? If you're looking to make money down the road, well, I mean, real estate prices continue to go up and up and up. And what the Passive Investor Network does is they take a look around all of Houston and they find places that they think are going to turn into, say, the next version of the Heights. You get in on the ground floor, guess what? Property values skyrocket. And they show you how they flip some of these houses and turn them into beautiful looking places on their famous bus tours, which you can check out, passiveinvestor.net. Promo code ESPN to go on the bus tour for free. You'll meet Ronnie and the entire team of people that take a look, scout out the entire area, find places in specific parts of town that they feel like they can turn into better parts of town, places that you will be able to make money off of, whether you're renting a place out or potentially just selling it to somebody else. That's what the Passive Investor Network can do for you. Why not sit down with them and talk about that 5-year plan, the PIN process? PassiveInvestor.net is the website. Promo code ESPN. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Wednesday. Some of you have sent us your wines for Wine Wednesday. I hate when I'm doing 60 in a 50-mile-per-hour area and some fatso cuts me off going 80.
Well, why do they got to be fat?
Yeah.
How can you tell?
Enjoy your heart disease, fatty. All right, 1194. Sounds like,
even I don't go that
sounds
hard.
Sounds like something very specific that happened that we might need more context on.
And someone else was complaining about just the weirdness of furniture companies. Yeah, I would agree. Sometimes furniture companies make it a little bit difficult for you to get what you want.
Yeah, they do. All right, so suggestions over the years have been made in owners' meetings, et cetera, in NFL circles on how to change the pace of the game. 30 ideas on improving the NFL. This was Football Morning in America segment by Peter King.
Mm-hmm.
There were 30. We're not going to read all 30, but some of the initial ideas that people had some reaction over. No kicking in overtime.
Ooh.
That would be interesting.
So the problem I have with that, though, is because it's been a part of the game historically. And what are we going to get rid of? Just kicking field goals? Are we getting rid of punting too?
Right. I don't know.
That would be, I think, a bridge too far. I don't entirely hate it.
There's one that I agreed with totally.
Okay.
Move the Super Bowl to Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. That's
a no-brainer. The fact that the Super Bowl is on a Sunday and the kids have to go to school the next day is egregious to me.
That the adults have to go to work the next day? Yeah.
See, I believe it's the same thing with college football. It's a Saturday sport. Then they played their championship game on a Monday. I don't get that.
Makes no sense.
You have to play. If you're a Sunday sport, you play on Sunday, but national holiday on Monday, don't have to go to work.
Do more people watch anything on Sunday than they do on Saturday? Because you will note that, say, HBO, their primetime like lineup, those shows always air Sunday nights. Sunday night football,
that gets a ton of numbers. That's not to say that college football and stuff on Saturdays doesn't get numbers, and occasionally you do have big events, but it does feel like, for whatever reason, people tend to watch television more on a Sunday than on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the NBC Football Night in America is like the number one show in the world or whatever,
yeah,
in the country. This one comes from Bill Miller in Savannah, Georgia. Give ownership. I think Texans fans will like this one. Give ownership 10 years to win. A proposal for the new NFL. If a team does not win a playoff game in 10 years, the team must be sold to another owner, or the NFL must step in and pick the next GM, similar to Pete Rozelle forcing the Giants to hire George Young as GM in 1979.
I think we all love the idea. The NFL would just never implement that one. Because, I mean,
how great would it be when you're at year 9 and everyone, like, for the Washington Commanders, you're at year 9 and everyone's, and they make the playoffs and everyone's actively rooting against the team.
They would because, be. No doubt about it.
It's like tanking in basketball to, like, the next level.
The arbitrary 10-year nature of it makes it a little bit tricky, I think, yeah.
Yeah, also if they hire someone year 9, like a GM in year 9, now the NFL is going to be like, nope, get another guy. Get Bill Polian.
This was an interesting article, though, when I read through it this morning, because it is suggestions from diehard football fans, and some of them are just ridiculous, but some of them are really interesting, so highly recommend that read from Peter King. All right, so some more NFL news. As we continue our show, Baker Mayfield had his press conference.
He did.
He didn't say anything. Look, Baker Mayfield, talk about punchable faces. Hello. Baker Mayfield didn't say anything overly surprising, but he did say he was, quote, surprised by how things went down in Cleveland.
You know, I think, you know, that's why it was surprising for everybody. Pretty unexpected. But, you know, if I'm focused on the past, then I'm not doing my job and, you know, being a Carolina Panther now. So I'm, like I said, I'm grateful for my time there. Yeah, shocked. I'd say it was, you know, pretty much the only way to describe it. But you roll with the punches and you got to move forward. You know, this is a test of adversity and how I'm going to handle it and how I can move forward and be the best teammate possible with our new home. And I'm looking forward to it.
I can't believe he's shocked.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a business.
Maybe he was shocked about the Watson trade, because it did seem like the Browns were out of the running, but there was nothing that took place last year that should have made Baker Mayfield feel 100% secure in his job status. I'd go further to say that if he felt comfortable that he would be the starting quarterback of the Browns for 2022, he would have been willing to sit out when he was injured. Instead, he decided to play through it, and the Browns were dumb and did not put him on the bench, even though they were paying Case Keenum a lot of money to be, I think, the most expensive backup quarterback in the NFL last year.
I think people try to say that it's either the Browns or Baker's fault, and I think that it sounds like a cheap answer, but I think it's both. Because let's face it, we know for a fact, because it's been widely reported by the top reporters like Schefter and Rappaport, that at the Combine, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski point blank told Baker Mayfield's agent, we are going to try to get Deshaun. If we don't get Deshaun, we'll stick with Baker. I'm not saying that's a great thing. And if you're Baker, I understand being mad. It's also a business. It's also the way it is. So him saying, obviously, you know, also that he was shocked when none of his teammates seemed to be warmed up to him anymore, and he was causing some division in the locker room. I don't see how you're shocked about that. But it's a very Baker Mayfield victim complex answer.
Yeah. And I don't think he was necessarily whining or anything like that, but there's definitely hints of what you're talking about in that.
Not a Baker fan. Not a Baker. And Colin Cowherd was right about Baker Mayfield. How should the Panthers handle their quarterback competition? Scott Fitterer of the Carolina Panthers says it is a legitimate competition.
Scotty doesn't know.
No, this is open competition. You know, the reason why we added Baker was to make the group better as a whole. Our whole philosophy is to add competition, not just in the quarterback room, but every position.
I don't buy.
Do you believe it?
I don't buy that it's an open competition. I think they're saying this because they're still just praying that Sam Darnold can live up to his expectations. But it's over. It will be interesting to see how it plays out, though. I really do think that there is a chance that exists that's not like infinitesimal. Is that it?
Whoa.
Is that right?
No clue.
Infinitesimal?
You guys.
That means very, very small.
You guys both have punchable faces right now. for using that word.
Professor Sean behind the glass correcting me. I'm just a simple scientist.
Whatever the hell it is, that word.
Infinitesimal.
I don't think it's completely off the board for Matt Corral to win the job. The rookie that they drafted. I don't think. Well, I mean, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick,
yeah,
and he won the starting job.
See,
his rookie year after
the one that wins.
Matt Flynn signed for a big contract.
Because I think he gets a year. I think now he is a guaranteed year where he can sit back and learn and get better. I think that's a huge weight off his shoulders.
It might be a weight off his shoulders, but there's another part of me, too, where I sometimes these guys are ready.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, putting somebody behind the scenes and having them learn, you're just delaying the inevitable sink or swim moment. I mean, you throw the guy out there and he's good or he isn't. I don't think that sitting behind the scenes is ultimately going to make that much of a difference. Everyone talks about that with Patrick Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith for a full season. Well, Alex Smith was decent enough to not lose his job. But what, we don't think Mahomes would have been doing the exact same things that he is doing, at least in spots, in his rookie season? You know, I think Corral could win it. I do think it's going to be Baker Mayfield. I would be shocked if Darnold won
totally.
It. But I think any possibility is on the board in Carolina, and it's intriguing at the very least.
Colin Cowherd has said for years that he thinks Baker Mayfield is immature. It seems like he might have been right about that. But is he right about a rumor he's hearing about Trey Lance?
His delivery is, they're kind of rebuilding it. He gets arm fatigue. It's not an easy throw. He needs days off,
yeah,
and they're worried about his...
Yep. I've heard that
and they're,
too, yeah.
Yep. And they're worried about his accuracy.
Your guy, Mike Silver, the other one talking with Colin Cowherd.
Oh, I didn't know
there.
That was Mike.
That Thanks was Mike Silver. Yeah, because they both are hearing this about Trey Lance, which is interesting.
Well, and Mike is very, very plugged in that area of the country.
Silver actually talks to players, his credit.
Yeah.
I think that there's this weird thing that the 49ers are going to have to get over, and it's the guys that are in management and the guys who are on the coaching staff have to somehow find a way to get the players who love Jimmy Garoppolo, even though we all look at him and say, oh, he's like above average at best as a quarterback, they love him. And when you hear these rumors that are coming out, I think that there's like probably a pretty vocal contingent of players that are playing for the Niners right now that are thinking to themselves, I mean, we don't know that Lance has it, but it's probably because they're biased in favor of Jimmy Garoppolo. And I wonder how they get over that, because it really does feel like the top of the organization, those who are running the show, want to move on. But, I mean, you were in the NFC Championship game last year. Do you get back there without Jimmy Garoppolo? For what it's worth, over the last couple of years, even with Garoppolo's struggles, the 49ers have been a damn good team when Garoppolo is under center, and when he's not under center, they have not been good.
There's also something to be said about, look, there are players like Baker Mayfield who will play hurt and who will play through pain. I know people don't like this about Jimmy Garoppolo, but he really plays it safe. I mean, if he is feeling the slight bit of discomfort, he is not playing. That is not a good thing for 49ers fans. That may prolong his career a little bit.
It's a weird dichotomy of, hey, he doesn't play when he's less than 100%, and yet his teammates love him. You don't see that very often.
Other than what? Was it Marcellus Bennett?
Martellus Bennett?
Martellus. Didn't somebody call him a little a bee the other day?
Ooh.
I didn't see
that. Call Martellus Bennett a bee?
No, didn't Martellus Bennett call him?
Jimmy Garoppolo a bee?
Am I missing this?
I know that there are people that
I'll look it up during the break.
In Massachusetts and in the greater New England area who I think are in the pro, they should have traded Jimmy G group. I think like Rob Ninkovich is one of them who have called out like whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo wants to play when he is injured. But I think it's a fair thing to at the very least wonder about. And yet his teammates still like him. It's a weird dichotomy, because there's nothing that Garoppolo does that is that spectacular. He just must be a righteous dude.
Must be. And he, by the way, does not have a punchable face. He has a very nice face. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we close out our show and do our world famous Garbage Time segment. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, some people take boxing really seriously. That list includes Le'Veon Bell, who won't play football this year so he can focus on his boxing career. It's been a challenge. I've been willing to accept something I took on, Bell said during a promotional event for his upcoming fight with Adrian Peterson. Boxing is something, you know, they say you can't play boxing. Last year, I almost sat out the whole year to try to focus on boxing because I kind of knew that's what I wanted to transition to.
Okay. Yeah, now, there's what a spin zone. Oh, I sat out a year because I was trying to get big contracts for running backs.
It had nothing to do with the fact that no team would pay me.
It was funny, though, because Vanessa, he said he sat out that year. He was trying to take a stand for all running backs. Like, no, it wasn't just for you? Oh, wow, so noble. Now, taking an entire year off, yes, to focus on his boxing career. No, nobody wants you, and this is the spin zone that you do.
Little spin zone
action. We all do it from time to time, right?
We have all done it. We all, when we don't get a job, what do we say? I don't want it anyway.
Yeah.
Even though
you do.
Burning angry.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
All right. It is now time for our segment that we call.
Good.
Yeah. There's a
What is that? Popeye's chicken sandwich?
It might be the KFC sandwich. There's a new sandwich. It's
KFC. The KFC sandwich.
There's
good
a
God.
New. Thank you. There's a new sandwich at KFC. By the way, we have ESPN TV on in our studio. And they have a new chicken sandwich that's like that looks ginormous. It looks bigger than the one at Popeye's.
But the problem is, and everyone has to remember this, if you take a look at the way that food advertising is done, you would know that some of the stuff that they put on the food isn't actually food. For example, you want to put some cream on top of a pumpkin pie. Guess what kind of cream generally is used in the photo?
What?
Shaving cream.
Really?
If you want to see maple syrup on a pancake, guess what?
What is
it? It's generally used instead of maple syrup on a pancake.
What is it, Brian Windhorst?
Motor oil.
A lot of weird things are happening.
What's
in
happening
food,
in Utah?
In food advertising. Very
What's
interesting.
Happening?
Very
interesting. I remember when I was watching the Brady Bunch and my parents told me that for the ice cream scenes, they use mashed potatoes. And I was shocked. But yeah, that chicken sandwich looks flame, as the kids say, for real, for real.
A chicken sandwich with pickles, coleslaw on a brioche bun, fried chicken sandwich. It's pretty hard to screw it up.
Orgasmic. You know what's really good at KFC?
What?
The famous bowl. The mashed potatoes.
I never heard of it.
Oh,
how
my
famous
God.
Is it?
Holy.
Sounds
okay.
like a fraud to
Sean,
me.
Sean, back me up. Is this not unbelievable?
Let me
describe it. Mashed potatoes, chicken, little chicken bites, like the popcorn chicken bites, corn, cheese, gravy. Mix it up, and it's one of the best, most underrated fast food items in America.
This segment was brought to you by We're Hungry.
Yeah, it is brought to you by. It is 11:50 right now.
But is that not? But is the famous bowl not fire?
It's the best. It's the logical conclusion of when you mix all your food together and you go, it's all going to the same place anyway. They already mixed it for you.
It's so good. All right, yeah. Now let's get to our garbage time segment.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts. Now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Somebody on the text line said that Paul and I were hired for our pretty face. Now, face was singular. I don't know if they meant Paul's pretty face or mine. Either way, you never want to pit radio folks against each other. And that's what happened when Michael K was absent on the radio. His partner, now I made, but is it Don LaGreca?
Don LaGreca,
Don LaGreca was not happy being told that he was not as good solo.
Five games up. That's how he's hurting it.
Oh, my God. Is that what you need to do? Look, not with your Michael K. I'm on the air. I've worked at the Fan before Michael K. I do Ranger games without Michael K. 16 years doing pre and post for the Jets. Guess what? No Michael K. I got a podcast that's in the top 50 in every country on the planet. No Michael K. I've got two kids. I've got a wife. 17 years. I'll be married during September. Guess what? No Michael K. I've got hair that people would die to have. Michael K. Nothing. I'm a fabulous driver. Michael K.'s got nothing to do with it. I'm one of the best friends you could ever have in your life. Zero to do with Michael K. Do not ever say to me, you wouldn't have the guts to say it to my face, Michael K.'s got nothing to do with what I am and who I am. I can work with Michael K. I can work without Michael K. You better bring it.
That was incredible. Now, was he being serious? Or was it a shtick?
Yes, I think he's being serious.
I mean, he literally brought up his marriage and how good of a driver he was. No, Michael K.
Part of his shtick is going on rants. But I don't think you can ever sound like more of a loser when you are acting as if this bothers you.
3364 said sounds like Joel Blank. Oh, come on.
I'm stepping away from that one.
I love Joel. That Joel is way less dramatic than that.
No Jeremy Branham. No Jeremy Branham.
The killer bees.
I did a show once on a Saturday in Houston a long, long time ago. And I remember someone texted in saying that me and my co-host were the R word. And my co-host, who I will not name, did not handle it well. But that rant reminded me of this. Do we actually have the audio of that? We don't have to play it, Sean. We might not even be allowed to.
No, play it, please.
It happened 10 years ago, but yeah.
Hold on, I'm trying to open the tab.
So is it the bad R word? Yeah, mean. Not okay, I understand.
He got bothered by it, though.
Is it somebody that's still at the flagship?
No.
Oh, okay. So
no, this is a million years
ago. We can play it if you want.
Play it. Okay,
let's play it.
People can call me the R word all they want on the text line and say that they're smarter than us, or even other people
can text in
and say, oh, you two are too young to be hosting a major market radio show.
All right, dude.
Oh,
relax.
Really? Well, guess what? We are the ones hosting the show, so you're going to have to deal with it.
Oh, my God. Stop. 713-572-4677. Let's get into the AFC and NFC championship game, because that argument is irrelevant, I think, in terms of what's going on today.
Paul.
Look at that professionalism by me.
That was. So,
oh, my God, stop.
So you were in my shoes, were you, to talk somebody off the ledge occasionally?
Yes. Yeah, I can't imagine Paul being the guy holding the
right
leash. Like, I can't.
A new documentary about the Victoria's Secret is coming to Hulu, and Jeffrey Epstein will be featured in it. Will you watch?
I can't watch the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. I remember there was a documentary. I forget what the app was. Maybe it was Netflix or something like that. I watched like 20 minutes and I was just like, good God, this is unbelievable that someone like this could be allowed to operate.
Yeah.
That said, it's a Victoria's Secret documentary.
I love documentaries.
Listen, I'm curious about the making of Victoria's Secret.
The making, all right. I love documentaries. This one I think will be hard to watch just because of the sheer corruption that went on with Epstein and Victoria's Secret and all of that. But, you know, knowledge is power. News from NASA, Paul. Clouds are in the forecast for Exponent WASP 96b. What does this mean? Who put this in the...
I did.
What is this?
There's water on another planet.
Oh.
We're not screwed anymore. Now we got to invade them and take it.
What the hell does any of this mean?
There's a telescope that can detect water in our universe, and we apparently found it on a gaseous giant. There are clouds that are definitely water.
Well, good for them. They shouldn't come here. It's a disaster.
Well, no, we need water. We're running out.
He's saying we go there.
Oh, yeah. So we go there.
We go there and we take it. Yeah, I mean, shoot, like Colorado, a glacier just like slipped and a bunch of people died.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like 25 million light years away.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Big
just
lib.
Send somebody out there.
Big Seattle lib over here.
what is that?
Save the whales, Paulie G.
Yeah. We're all going to die.
Yeah. No, not dramatic at all. All right, coming up next on Vanessa and Gallant, you will hear Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 on 97.5 and 92.5. We'll catch you guys tomorrow.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.